Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of three opinionated guys with mics and too much free time. Strong enough to stop a speeding movie rumor, more powerful than a bad comic book event. Able to waste hours of time asking stupid questions to people who have better things to do. It's Dave, Ben, and John. It's Superhero Speak.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And Ben.
And John. Damn it.
That was a really long pause there, Ben.
It's delays tonight, right?
Oh, that's terrible.
I don't get it.
That's just terrible. Oh my God. That's dad humor for you, everyone.
It's the only humor I know.
So how have you guys been?
Hot lately. It's been warm on this East Coast of ours.
Yes. We haven't sat down like this in a while, it feels like.
Yeah, it's been, we've had a lot of people interview. It's a good thing.
Maybe. No, I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Insult the people that come onto this show of their own free will, mostly.
Yeah.
To talk to us. And
we love all of our guests equally, especially some of them.
You know, tying them down and waterboarding them until they talk, it's just not working anymore.
Just not giving you the spark it used to.
No, it's not, you know. No, but actually, you know, it's funny. Speaking of, you know, we've had some guests lately, and, you know, I just wanted to tell the, you know, bring up that our audience has grown significantly over the last few weeks, and it seems like ever since we joined the outhousers.com, and, you know, I want to welcome all our new listeners to the show. Welcome. And if you're...
Thank you.
Those are the ones that we paid.
And if you're enjoying the show,
please pay us back.
just want to remind people that don't be shy. If you have an iPhone, go subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you have the Google phone, the Android, you can get Stitcher, and we're available on there. You know, we just want to make life easy for you. So subscribe to us. Mm-hmm. Right, John?
We will not stoop down to begging.
I'm not begging. I'm just reminding the listeners they can always subscribe to the podcast.
No.
Yes, they can.
Apparently, I'm having delays on the...
Oh, God. Yeah, so...
I'm having delays now, too.
So before...
through any of your favorite podcatchers, we are there.
Yes. Yes, delays. These guys keep making jokes about delays. So before we had jumped on tonight, I actually reached out on Twitter and asked our followers if they had any suggestions for something that we could talk about. An inconclusive podcast asked us to talk about the Marvel delays and if, you know, what we thought about them and if we had any insight. And I thought that's interesting because they're in the middle of essentially revamping their universe. I'm not going to say rebooting anymore because, you know, they're claiming it's not a reboot.
Right. Well, it's not. It's
they're spring cleaning it.
It's a mashup. Crisis.
Oh.
So,
it's,
what are we going to say?
They're all on, well, one might, all on one the might verge. Say
it's an Armageddon.
They're all on the verge of coming together in some sort of opposite of a divergence type of clashing of universes.
Oh, like nice. Oh, wait, sorry. We can't say that. And in the middle of all this, their books are being delayed by quite a bit, actually. So much so that I'm sorry, I'm getting a message from John. He actually is having a lag. Which is making this conversation even better.
This is fun. This is like a satellite link up. You say something, and then I say something, and then I realize that what I'm answering was like 5 minutes before. It's awesome.
So much so that all the books are being delayed, and they don't have solid dates on releases for all the number ones that are going to be coming out. And so, yeah, it's interesting. They're not, and of course, Marvel's not being forthcoming on what's causing the delays. So
yeah, that is a little bit, I don't know if I want to say surprising, but it does pique curiosity as to what it could be that's causing delays, that they're not willing to make a statement about what it is. I mean, if it's something like maybe there is an artist or a set of artists that, you know, there was someone who got a hand injury or someone had a, you know, a conflict or, you know, some minor thing they had to work out with the storyline that they needed to revise and redraw several panels. You know, any of those are valid things that they can put forth and say, look, this is where we are. You know, we're making adjustments, and that's what it is. And obviously, you know, the audience, the comic book community of fans have been very vocal about this issue and are very divided upon it, apparently. My take is I'd rather wait for it. I'd rather wait for, you know, the best version of these stories, you know, with the take the delays and wait it out.
True, true. I mean, I agree with the concept of waiting for quality is better than rushing things out the door.
Yeah.
That being said, though, the flip side to that is one of the biggest delays in comic book history was the final issue of Spider-Man Black Cat that was written by Kevin Smith, and it was one of the most disappointing final issues of a miniseries ever. But
well, when you have that much of a delay, it actually brings a certain level of impetus to it, and
it's
almost impossible to satisfy your audience after that.
Right, right. The longer you're waiting, the more hype you have in your own mind. Kind of right. Like when you're waiting for Batman v Superman. So
so true.
But I mean, on the other side of that, like I've seen plenty of comics that. Like, not necessarily due to delays, but just due to changes. And, like, it's very, like, if you've ever read a comic and been following a continuity of a particular book, and where they will switch art teams, whether it be just for one issue or be for a series of issues, that it's disruptive, you know, to change the artistic team on it or the writing team on it so that you can actually, you know, have to get used to a different style. To how the book is written or drawn, it throws you off. You have to sort of get in the groove of it again.
Right, right. No, and but here's the thing too. Like I found a couple articles related to this online, and they all say pretty much the same thing. And of course, one of the things they point out is this isn't the first time that comics have been delayed. Like, they were bringing up Civil War. There were a couple of delays in those books, but they were due to trying to get the art done. And that was just in the main book, and a lot of the sub-books, they didn't delay because they weren't too tightly wound. Other than
the stories were separate enough.
Right, right.
That it didn't really affect things too much.
Other than probably the Spider-Man books. But, because that was the biggest thing with him revealing his identity. But that being said as well, this is a delay that, again, it has to do with it's the entire universe and where we're going with this thing. You know, they're promising us everything's going to be different when this is over. And you would think they'd have it all quote unquote planned out before they started. You know, cause you're always hearing about, they have these creative summits at Marvel every year. All the head creative teams get together and they talk about their ideas for the year and they plan out how they want to deliver it and whatnot. And, you know, it's just a little shocking, you know.
Well, it's not that they don't know where they're going with it. They know what the story is. They know what the conclusion is. They've already got some of the work done for what the aftermath is going to be. Like, they already have books, you know, ready and waiting for the all-new, all-different Marvel sitting in the wings. I think I wouldn't assume that the problem is that there are story problems in the sense that they didn't know what was coming or didn't know how to wrap something up. I think it's more along the lines that maybe there was some sort of monkey wrench that was thrown at them, whether it be with the staffing, like maybe somebody quit, that was very critical to some of the work being done, or maybe there was some other factor that, like, feedback that, you know, corporate said, we need to change this piece of it because of X, you know, and it requires readjusting their storyboards for several issues.
Right.
Or maybe Deadpool is messing with their continuity and they have to go fix it again.
All right. I'm putting up my little asterisk here. This is now my wild speculation section of the show. Meaning, I don't know anyone close to why to this delay.
I think we can all assume in most cases Dave doesn't know anything.
I do know people that work with Marvel, and I've heard different stories. But, you know, this is just, I'm just going to throw some wild speculation out there. That there is a company that owns Marvel now that's run by a giant rodent. I mean, mouse.
It is a rodent.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, mice are rodents. And for the longest time, I heard from people who were working with Marvel that, oh yeah, they're not getting involved much. They're not saying anything. And now I'm hearing from people that they're making editorial decisions. They're censoring stuff that Marvel's doing and saying, oh, you can't do that. Oh, we shouldn't do this. And they're stepping their big yellow boot in more, or smacking around with their three fingered white glove.
They're handing out promise rings.
So I wonder if, you know, someone at Disney looked at what their plans were and said, you know what, we're okay with 75% of this, but this 25% all has to be changed before you release the books.
I wouldn't say that that's not the case. I'm not going to argue with you on that point. It could very well be that. But I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt that it's probably something that may end up being for the best. Or maybe a good idea on their part. I have faith in the mouse.
So little things you have faith in. I'm glad to see you have faith in something. Squeak, squeak! But I'm just saying, you know, because we have all, in our day-to-day lives, worked for companies that were owned by larger entities, and the smaller company has wanted to do something, and you start down a path, and then the larger company goes, oh, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, you know, we don't think this is a good idea, do this instead. And you end up changing your project halfway through, and, you know, people get upset, and they jump ship, you know. Like an artist maybe jumps off a book.
Or worse yet, they come in and say, hey, this is a great idea. We're going. You can have this done in a week, right?
Well, that's true, too. So, yeah, I'm not, again, wild speculation, people. This is just food for thought, you know. Something to think about. Maybe, you know, like Ben said in his happy-go-lucky way. But maybe everything will be princesses and rainbows when what Disney's done polishing it.
That's what
would be a weird
about.
Marvel universe.
I was going to say that's what we're worried about.
Oh, come on. They said it's all new, all different.
My Little Avengers.
I'd actually want to see that.
I would see that. That would be interesting. I would love, you know what, I'm going to have to come up with I'm going to work that out for you, John. I'll do a hybrid of the core My Little Ponies and the Avenger members, and I'll see what I come up with. I'm pretty sure Rainbow Dash and Thor would have to get paired up.
Oh, my God.
Well, exactly.
You know, technically, though, I think they already have My Little Avengers. Isn't that, there's a cartoon, isn't there?
Avengers cartoon.
No, there was Marvel Heroes or something. It's a cartoon. They're all small. They are all got three fingers, and it's all a bunch of in-jokes.
Maybe. I couldn't validate that.
Yes, I agree with Ben. I can't validate or deny that.
Neither confirm nor deny.
Yes.
What is it, damn it? I Jeez, yeah, I should know these. I should know the anime right off the top of my freaking head.
Are you sure not thinking of Teen Titans Go?
No, no, no. Mostly because I do not watch that.
Oh, it's a good show. You should watch it. See, on the episode that was on tonight that I was watching before I got set up.
So they
Superhero Squad.
Is that what you're
way.
Saying?
Huh?
Oh yeah, Superhero Squad. Yeah.
Yeah, Superhero Squad.
Yes, that there's a Wii game based on it too.
Yep. So you've been suckered into it, Dave, haven't you?
Yes, yes. See, so on the episode, so Brother Blood. Well, first off, it starts off. Robin wants to have a mandatory meeting with the Teen Titans, but no one shows up at the meeting because they don't respect them anymore, or they don't show up on time. But they do come to the meeting, and then they say they don't need to listen. You know, they don't listen to him, and they make fun of him because he has baby hands, and then. Brother Blood is attacking the city, and he invents this weapon to erase the memories of the Teen Titans. And Robin
will only ever use it this once.
Robin jumps out of the way, and it shoots the rest of the Titans. They all lose their memory, and Robin's happy because, oh, now I get a do-over as the leader of the Titans. And he, you know, he fills them all with crazy ideas, like he saved all their lives, and that's why he's the leader, and blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the episode, they have to fight Brother Blood again, but, you know, they won't fight him because he told them all these stories, and I think he's got all these powers. And so to shock them back into remembering, he takes his gloves off, and he actually has baby hands. It's like, really?
Oh, my God.
Yes, so that's the quality of Teen Titans Go.
Right. I will say, I have been more and more exposed to it for my kids, and I'm still not going to admit that I like it, but I will admit that they're occasionally amusing. I really enjoyed an episode recently where they had, what was it, Beast Boy and Raven's, both of their exes started dating each other, Aqualad and Terra, and so there was this whole double date situation that ended up happening.
Yes,
I saw and that. The whole third wheel thing with Cyborg was just hilarious. Like, just his little third wheel theme music.
Awkward moment. Third wheel!
You know, I can't.
So, yeah.
While we're talking, just so the audience knows, if you're hearing chuckling that has, like, no nothing basis in the conversation, we're sending around art of the My Little Pony main six in different hero costumes.
Now, what is this set, John? I'm not even sure what I'm looking at right now.
That's actually from an actual episode where they were sucked into a comic book.
I remember that.
Hey, they actually have a play on My Little Pony on Teen Titans Go called Pretty Pretty Pegasus.
Oh,
yes,
of course.
And in an episode, they were sucked into the TV. And we're an episode of Pretty Pretty Pegasus. So, see, John, you have a reason to watch it.
Yeah,
reason one episode. Is a strong word.
Oh, okay. All right, so I'm looking at this art, and it looks like Rainbow Dash is Iron Man.
Yeah.
It does look that way, yes.
But no matter who which does the art, well. For some reason, it just, I don't know. Fluttershy always winds up as the Hulk. You know, they I don't
well,
know.
Well, that's fitting, though, because she does sort of, she's so soft-spoken, but then she does have these moments where she blows up. That's not uncommon for her, so that's actually a really fitting pairing.
Right, but Pinkie Pie would have made as, let's see, what was I thinking? Oh my God.
I do find it funny that we're actually putting serious thought into this.
I know, right?
It's very amusing.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to My Little Pony
Little
Talk
speak.
On NPR.
Oh, God.
On NPR. And Pony Hero Talk.
Now, John and Ben, back to the action.
Yeah. We should do this in movie fights. They'd never have us. So.
Yeah.
No, we would never have them.
You know, on the topic of the Teen Titans and the abomination it has become, isn't it interesting that a lot of the cartoon universes went from being very serious and really very good to being completely hawked at kids, And now, apparently, we're getting the balance with Bruce Timm going, okay, if that's what you're going to do with these characters, here, look what I can do. And giving us, like, these, you know, these slaughter fests.
Yes. And by the way, bravo on out segueing me, John. That was
Segways don't work when you call attention to them. I was thinking, like,
believe me, I know, Dave. I know.
I'm sitting there going, oh my God, John's doing a segue.
Well, yep. It was either that or go on about Pinkie Pie being Deadpool, but you know, it just.
You can only go so far with that.
Yes.
So.
And I
but yes, John.
It's in John's dreams.
Ha ha ha.
You are right. There is definitely this weird, there is a weird schism because you have the Teen Titans Go and these very, you know, kid oriented, ridiculous things. And we also know that, you know, Marvel is doing the whole, DC is doing the DC Supergirls thing, which I think is sort of a pandering piece. But Bruce Timm comes out with this crazy variation on the Justice League characters, which will be out at the end of this end of July, July 28th. You can see some mini episodes of it now, though, where he takes a very, very dark turn on these characters.
Right. I mean, that's what's, you know, when you think about it, it's one of the things that's really interesting is a lot of people seem to forget or they don't look at it this way when the original Batman animated series came out, even though it was a cartoon, it was still a very serious take on the character. You know, I wouldn't say it was adult oriented. It was right at that line where
it was definitely more teen oriented than it was kid oriented.
Right, right. It wasn't pandering to children, and it wasn't it wasn't graphic. You know,
but the stories real rapidly got very. I wouldn't say dark, but tortured, maybe.
Right.
You really didn't get happy endings at the end of every one.
True.
And then they started adding plot points where it started to go from episode to episode instead of just everything being a nice, neat package.
Right, right. Hey, it was, and of course it came out at the time of, you know, right around the 89 Batman movie. And another thing, like, do you guys remember when the show premiered? It actually
Batman the animated series?
Like, did you remember that it actually premiered in primetime?
And it was like right opposite I think it was opposite Star Trek Next Generation. I think it was the same year.
I don't know if it was the same day, but yeah, it was a cartoon that premiered in primetime. Like, that didn't happen, you know, until then.
And now we have a lot of, you know, adult-oriented cartoons these days on television. I mean, you know, Adult Swim has a whole series of those oriented towards an older audience, a more mature audience. And it's creates a weird line because occasionally I'll be channel surfing and my kids will see something that's cartoon and they'll perk up. It'll be, you know, Family Guy or The Simpsons. I'm like, no, that's not for you. Let's keep going.
Wait, you still keep them away from The Simpsons?
Well, The Simpsons doesn't come out that often. I just use that as an example. But like, if it was Futurama, Futurama's got some off-color jokes. And The Family Guy, it definitely does. And South Park, you know, those sorts of things. I wouldn't really let them watch at this stage.
No, but Archer is fine.
God, sometimes I feel it's too rough for me.
So yeah, so Bruce Timm, you know, now's taking a stab at a more adult world.
Yes.
Does that
make him a god or a monster?
With Justice
Most
League.
People would put him in the former. But,
most people would, but this is a rather monstrous twist on the Justice League.
Yes, yes.
Well, yeah, but so was what DC did with their reboot.
Well,
I would say touché. More so.
Touche. So
I would say at least these guys, if Bruce Timm's people, have character and development.
Yeah. I would say Bruce Timm's new cartoon is more of a divergence than a convergence.
Yes, it is. So I guess for those of our audience who are not acutely aware of this, maybe we should go into some of the high-level details of what Gods and Monsters centers on.
Yes. So at this point, they released a general trailer and then three featurettes, which, you know, the links will be in the description, concentrating on the main three, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. But
yes.
These aren't your parents, Batman, Wonder Woman, and
no.
Superman.
They're alternate universe versions, and they're very, very different. They're not even the same people. I mean, we're talking about a version of Superman that is actually the son of Zod instead of the son of Jor-El. Batman, who is actually who is it? Kurt Langstrom, who Man is Bat. Typically Man-Bat. And I don't know if we really nailed down the identity of Wonder Woman, but it's not.
She's one of the Princess new gods. Diana she's one Prince. Of the gods of New Genesis.
Okay.
It doesn't say which one, but there are a lot of them, so who knows?
And they have a pretty interesting all-star voice cast for it as well, like some pretty big names involved. I mean, they have Benjamin Bratt doing the Superman character, mm-hmm. Michael C. Hall as Batman, and Tamara Taylor, which most people might not know, but she's she's been on Bones for years as the Wonder Woman voice, very distinctive voice.
Dexter is Batman.
Yes, it's since he kind of acts like a vampire in this. It's not that far fetched of a choice.
Yes, yeah. I mean oh my god. I mean, first off, the the thing is, the featurettes are a little confusing. We feel that they're obviously part of a bigger movie that isn't released yet. But like the Superman one, first off, the character design, he has a goatee, obviously.
Which of course means evil.
Of course.
No, it's because he's the son of Zod,
Yeah. So he's got the goatee, no cape.
No cape, but a trench coat.
Yeah. And the Superman logo that he sports is on his belt.
Right. Wait a minute. Is he actually the son of Silent Bob? Oh, wait.
Oh, good call.
In the featurette, they show that he's not necessarily a bad guy. Like, he's still a good guy, but apparently the government's trying to find a way to control him.
Right, because he's more ruthless, and he's, and even in the short that they have for him, it pretty much points out, A, the cataclysm that's going on is the government's fault because they were trying to create a counter to Superman.
Mm-hmm.
B, in the process of going to confront this this force, Superman has no qualms about victims. They're not his. They're not what he cares about.
Right, right.
He cares about stopping this force that's wreaking havoc, but will walk right by a bus full of people who are screaming for help, and ignoring them completely.
So he took cues from Man of Steel. Oh wait, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Why does everything about this make me cry?
But yes. So, and what's interesting is what's creating the. This is what took me back from that clip and got me interested, is what's creating the disturbance is a man-made version of Brainiac.
Right.
So there's your whole, interesting twist. He's not an alien, now he's man-made. And Superman stops him, and he seems genuinely upset for having to stop him, as in, is it because...
He has to make a hard choice, but...
Right, right.
He's perfectly willing to make that choice, but he also has, he has the right emotions about it.
Right, right, right. And that's what piqued my interest. Why though? And hopefully, when the movie comes out, they delve into that.
Right. He apparently has some degree of humanity. Meanwhile, from the Wonder Woman short, she has absolutely no qualms stabbing numerous soldiers to death. In short order.
So the Wonder Woman one, it starts out with Steve Trevor as a soldier, and
he's arrested.
He's arrested, and he's on a mission, blah, 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 blah. And then Wonder Woman, this version of Wonder Woman, shows up to save him, which was interesting because she had a new power where she could teleport.
Yeah.
And,
But she also had a sword that was not typical to Wonder Woman's
no.
set of weapons.
No,
the particular sword, at least.
Yeah, I mean, she was the most different, I think, in the sense of, like, her costume was all white. It didn't look anything like any Wonder Woman costume you've ever seen before.
Right, but she's from New Genesis, so.
She has a black sword, and she teleports and flies in super strength, is what we've seen so far. And it wasn't, that's not what got me. It was the attitude of the character was so different. You know, you want to elaborate?
Well, I mean, she obviously had enough concern to come and save Steve Trevor's hide, but, at the same time, when he basically made a joke about how he doesn't need her help, when he gets into hot water, she's perfectly content to just sort of nonchalantly stand aside while he gets his ass kicked.
Right.
So, you know, there's definitely not much compassion there. She's very cold and, you know, calculating and to the point.
Right. And then he finally does say, I need your help. She saves him. And that's when it gets weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it does get a little adult.
It gets a little, it gets a little PG-13. Yes. And I'm just like, so...
Although not nearly as PG-13 as I think the Batman versus Harley Quinn one was.
No.
That was all out. That was a horror show.
My before we get to that, my thought on that, and you can take this however you want. It feels like Bruce Timm's response to Wonder Woman's quote unquote sexism was to make her like a man. And it was just like, what? The stereotypical sexist man attitude is what she has in that entire clip. And it was just like, this is weird to me, you know?
That's possible. Bruce Timm can be that subtle.
like that seems like something another man would do. I'm just going to sit back. Oh, you said you don't need help. I'm just going to stand here and watch, you know? And then...
Yeah, I could see a woman doing that too.
I don't know. It's really weird. It was just like, I don't know.
You got yourself into this mess. You can get yourself out.
I'm going to have to see the whole thing to see how they handle it. I did not like it at all because it just seemed like a very odd choice. And that's my take on it. And then now Batman. Oh my God. Here's where we get really dark, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. How dark was it?
So, this version of Batman is obviously not Bruce Wayne. It's the Man-Bat, but he's not a, you know, bat hybrid in the traditional sense. He looks human, but he has vampire teeth, I'm going to go with.
Mm-hmm.
Sharp teeth that he can suck blood with. And he basically, you know, nonchalantly walks into Harley Quinn's lair and goes at it with her and is perfectly willing to drink her blood when he's done.
Wow, that was a really short description.
Well, I avoided all the gruesome violence that happened in between.
Well, yeah, that was the thing. I mean,
but that was more really a reflection on Harley Quinn than it was on Batman.
Yeah, I mean, that was the whole thing. Like, yeah, they get into a big fight, and this is the other thing that kind of took me from that whole thing is, and Batman is normally a quiet character, but he doesn't speak at all until the end of the clip, and yeah. So they're fighting, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, he has her pinned up against the wall and she goes, all right, I know when I'm beat, you can take me off to jail now. And he just smiles and goes, jail? And then bites her neck. And it's just like, oh, that's where they're going with that.
Yeah, but that version of Harley Quinn, you know, it was definitely, like, I'm not sure how they're going with why she's as, whether it's a matter of she's just been less held in check by anybody, or there were other matters that drove her to be this more sadistic version of herself. I mean, she had, you know, real halves of, like, the top half of a body as a jack-o'-lantern person, you know, popping out of a box. And she had, like, this whole
Jack-in-the-box, not a jack-o'-lantern.
Jack-in-the-box, that's what I meant to say, sorry. And, like, her whole family, like, staged and dead on the couch around the television. In her, you know, central living quarters. You know, it was very, very gruesome and dark.
Yes.
Well, it's easily explained. The Flash went back and tried to save his mom again. He really shouldn't do that.
No.
Yeah. He should really
learn. He needs to learn. He saved his mom and he saved Hal Jordan in the same time. And threw everything off. Ugh. And he saved Krypton.
But seriously, I mean, you know, I don't know. These are completely different takes, but you can almost see things going just a little bit astray and this winding up being the case. And a dark Harley Quinn without a Joker to goad her. That's, I mean, it's too bad that she only gets one episode. Well, but
yeah, but I think though, in my understanding, like Harley Quinn, while she is sort of a creation of the Joker, she also sort of completes that. She fits in the same puzzle that the Joker fits in, that they are agents of chaos, mostly geared against Batman. So this is a very different Batman, and not necessarily one of order. So is it a matter of this Batman created that alternate version of Harley Quinn, or is it just because she was on a different enough path that she has a different set of philosophies about things, right, or different things, you know, different events steered her to where she was? It may not even be the same person.
Well, it sounds like if they had met before, then this meeting wouldn't have happened. So this is probably the first time they met. So it probably has nothing to do with her interaction with him. It's just she was that nuts.
Or the other side could be that before their meeting of Harley Quinn and Batman in that episode that we saw, that featurette, that he dispensed with the Joker, and that pushed her even further over the edge.
That's possible.
True.
So my only thing with it, like, Batman as a vampire is not new. It's been done before, you know?
Yes.
So it's kind of like, okay. You know, I mean, I know it's hard to come up with an original take on all the characters, but it's like, that's an obvious go-to for him as well, you know?
Well, yes, but at the same time, it is a unique take to have one of, I think it's falling, and maybe that's a paradigm to this whole thing. If we find out more about Wonder Woman and what her origin is, it seems like that Bruce Timm has basically created heroes out of villains from each of these genres. From each of these rogue galleries. So, you know, because we have the Son of Zod as the alternate Superman, we have the Man-Bat as the alternate Batman, and it's very possible that this alternate Wonder Woman is one of Wonder Woman's typical adversaries.
Right.
Or another, you know, descendant of Ares, other than, you know, Diana.
Who knows? In this universe, it could have been Darkseid's daughter instead of son, who was traded to New Genesis for the Peace Pact.
Maybe.
Oh, look at
someone's going deep.
I know. Look at John getting with the deep cuts.
I'm so excited I get to talk about DC. Yay!
We did this just for you, John.
Yes.
It's all for you.
Now the question is, are there any My Little Pony DC mashups?
Do the Googles.
Not yet. But after people hear this podcast, maybe.
That sounds like a challenge for Ben.
Oh, no. No,
I could do
no,
it if it's Ben. I'm sure not it's out Ben. There.
Not Ben. No. No.
What do you have against me?
Not against you. It's just against what you're probably thinking of doing.
You don't even know.
I can guess. So what else is being delayed? I mean, Sony's got a new CEO from Fox who's been slashing budgets all over the place. Has that affected anything besides the Fantastic Four and the Ghostbusters?
No, but you know, it was something that we didn't talk about on the show. When we talked about them the announcing Spider-Man joining the league, or the MCU.
That would be news.
the one thing they announced that kind of got brushed under the a little bit under the rug that no one really talked about is at the same time they announced they delayed Black Panther, Captain Marvel, and Ragnarok's releases. You know, and is that because now Spider-Man's going to tie into all of those movies somehow? I mean, I don't think he has any business being in Ragnarok, personally.
No, not necessarily, but there is definitely a cascade effect sometimes with these things. So it could just be a matter of that because they have to rework any, it may not even be necessarily that the story needs to be reworked, but they have to rework scheduling for shooting. So because the shooting for Captain America Civil War might be a little bit longer or pushed off, it's going to affect the shooting times for Ragnarok and so on and so forth.
Right, right. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that was one of the, that's something that also people can go back and listen to our Age of Ultron review. We didn't touch on this, but I think this might be an appropriate time for this. One of the only criticisms, really that I've heard about the movie, and it's not so much a criticism as it, you know, people will find something to complain about.
As they do.
Is Marvel using, 10 minutes in all of their movies to set up their next movie, you know, which I don't think they do that much, but they definitely did it in the, in the last Avengers movie by setting up Ragnarok with a whole thing with Thor.
Right. And it was very public, repercussions to that. Like, Joss was very vocal about how he didn't like that factor, that there was a lot of back and forth with that. And it seemed like it wasn't even just between Marvel Studios and the director, but also between Marvel Studios, the director, and Disney. Right. You know, all three directions, it was this triangle of war over these little pieces.
Right, right. And I mean, I understand a little bit as a director, like, and writer, like, okay, this is my vision for such and such movie, and now you're trying to shoehorn your little piece in here. But again, it's also all being part of a bigger organization. You kind of have to, you know, play the game. And, in fact, some people were saying it's the only reason Thor was even in the movie, you know, was for that scene. Because other than that, what did he really do in the movie other than use the hammer to bring Vision to life?
Well, he didn't do a lot in the respect of the main plot, but I'd say he was fairly important to a lot of the subplots. Like, the emotional subplots he was important to. Like, the whole team camaraderie and Vision being accepted as part of the team were all very heavily reliant on Thor.
Right, right.
And the presence of Thor and the presence of Mjolnir and things like that. There was a lot of factors that drew back to that.
Right, right. But I think I'm afraid that people are now thinking, oh, well, that's why they delayed it, because now they'd have to figure out how to tie it all together and end with the Sony movies. Like, no.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
Yeah.
You know, that I think if they had let Joss Whedon deal with figuring out how to tie together the other movie and his movie, he could have come up with a much better way than them forcing him to throw that scene with Thor in the pool in. I'm sure he could have come up with something better.
Right. But here's the one side of it that I think some people seem to forget, is that all of it's really being driven by Kevin Feige. You know, he's the one that's making all the decisions on how to tie the things together. He's hiring brilliant writers and directors to do the individual pieces, but then he's the one who's the mastermind. He's
pulling all the strings.
Yeah, he's the puppet master. He's Ultron. I mean...
Yeah, I agree, but it's just like, you know, okay, so if you're going to hire all these brilliant people, sometimes you have to listen to them, you know? And if you have somebody like Joss Whedon, you freaking listen to him, because the guy has proven time and time and time and time again that he can make things work in a way that you wouldn't expect, but would probably be better than anybody else.
Yeah, so he's got a couple good things. Come on.
A couple of good things. Oh, my Lord.
You know, Buffy was a fluke. But anyway. though, I think Kevin Smith, speaking of Silent Bob, I know that was a while ago. I think he had the best take on it. This was on Fat Man on Batman, they were talking about it. And he said one way to look at it is the individual movies are like individual issues of those comic books, you know, or individual story arcs of those comic books. And the Avengers movies are like the annuals, where they would have some like weird event that tied a bunch of little things together at the end of the year, you know? And I was like, oh, you know what? That's a good way to look at it. Like, don't expect a strong, you know, great story in those the movies that are combining them. Just kind of be happy that, oh, look, we get some cool shots of them together on screen.
Right.
Does that mean when we get the blue? Does that mean when we get the Blu-rays, we're going to have to get all five foil covers?
Oh, they're not there yet. Don't give them ideas. Shh.
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine that?
You have to buy the movie six times to get the full cover.
They already do that because they release all the movies individually, and then they come out with the box set,
and then the platinum edition,
and then after phase three is done, they'll come out with a Uber box set of 1 through 3,
and then they'll have the director's cut.
Right. Yes. Oh, and then what about? Do you think there'll be? I mean, they haven't. They've talked about up to phase three, but they're not saying they're going to stop at phase three.
No, no. They've actually said at one point they haven't announced past it, but they have, you know, 14 years of movies planned out.
Oh, God. That's a lot of box sets you have to buy me, Ben.
Yep. I'll get right on that. Oh, wait. No, I won't.
And then the Donner cut.
No, no. No, 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 no. Donner's not making any of these movies, sorry.
And yet still, somehow, there will be a Donner cut.
Someone will find a way.
Yes. Yep.
Where there's a will.
There's a way.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Do you remember, this makes me always think about it when I hear that saying. Do you remember The Hobbit?
The original Hobbit, yes. I had the same thought. No, oh, my God.
That was in the Lord of the Rings one, not in The Hobbit. Right?
Yeah, the original cartoon.
Yes. Where there's a whip.
There's a will. Quip. There is a way. Mm, yep.
Oh, my God. You guys are sad.
All right. For those who haven't seen those original cartoons, go watch them right now. They're brilliant.
After you're done listening to us.
Yeah. Well, yeah. 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 Well, of course. Yeah. We're brilliant, too.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have laughed at that. Oh, yes, I should.
Yes, yes. Oh, man. So,
well, at least we have a new Lego Marvel movie to look or a game to look forward to in the near future.
Yes, well, actually, there's a bunch of Lego games coming out that look.
There is the Traveler Tales is doing their due diligence and winning all across the board.
We've got Jurassic Park,
is out now, I believe. Yes.
Yes. Then they have the what's the one with the portal.
Dimensions. Lego Dimensions.
Yes, which they're taking a book, a page out of the Skylanders and Infinity book. Oh, look. We'll have a little portal and they can put their Lego pieces on it. And,
Which I hate and I completely understand. And it's smart, but it annoys the crap out of me.
Because you know you're going to buy it.
Right.
For the kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they have the new Marvel game coming out.
Which should be following, it seems to be following the plot line of the first Avengers movie.
Yes.
And maybe beyond.
And maybe beyond, because at the end, they show
Ultron.
Ultron's face real quick. But yes, I mean, that I can't wait. I mean, could you imagine just playing through phase one as a game?
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome. Playing through each of those as levels.
Yes. That would just be, you know, I wouldn't leave my house.
I wouldn't do anything else. Yeah, I would just be doing that all day long.
Oh, Lego and First Avenger, Iron Man 1. Unfortunately, yeah. Iron Man 2.
Yeah, well, they'll make that one short.
You know what the? Well, yeah, no, never mind. I don't want to go there. Well,
the thing is as bad as Iron Man 2 was, which wasn't really that bad.
No.
As a level, it would actually probably be pretty fun because it's a lot of fighting. You're basically fighting. You get to play as both Iron Man and War Machine, which are basically the same character, and fight. Although they'll find a way to make them different enough, and fight against Whiplash, and then fight against along with an army of drone robots.
Right, so
that'd be lots of fun.
Because you always have to have your army of drone robots or drones, right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yep. It's a must-have.
Yes. And, yeah. I mean, and I'm sure that once the Avengers come out, there'll be a next Lego Batman game quickly behind it. Probably Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
But that's just wild speculation again.
Well, they do have... They did release a third Batman one...
Yes.
A couple months ago.
Was it a couple?
So, at least over a month ago.
It's been a while, because I think I've beaten it already.
Yes. I didn't. I got it late.
Oh, okay.
And my kids are not very quick to try to beat it for some reason.
Who needs the kids?
They're slacking. Well, I don't. I just... They're my reminder to play, and they don't play it, so I haven't played it.
Just remember to skip over this part when they're listening. Daddy loves you. He didn't mean he doesn't need you. He just wants to play the game. Now, John doesn't need his kids, but that's a whole nother story.
Hey.
Nope. He perfectly fine playing video games and watching My Little Pony without his child.
Actually, no, she watches it with me.
But next week, the game I've been waiting for, I believe, comes out.
Is it porn related?
Huh?
Does it have a pi level?
Wait, what?
Does it have a pi level? I like that.
Oh my god. No! I need to go save Gotham again.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I don't play those dark games because of my children.
So you're playing as Commissioner Gordon?
Oh, nice. Nice pull. Bravo.
You know, you're on fire tonight, John.
He is. He's been. I think he's been bottling these up and waiting for the opportunity.
I think he's
got some pent-up comebacks.
I think he's been hitting a bottle tonight.
No, I think it's most other nights.
We weren't going to mention that on air anymore.
Yes. So my city needs me.
Yes.
St. Brendan's is good to me.
Yes. So if this show's not on for a few weeks, you'll know why, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
We'll be upping our street cred by going to the Betty Ford Clinic. Well, it's the next logical progression.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
All right.
All right. So we talked about a whole bunch of different things.
Yes, we did.
Talked about the new, you know, the delays in the comics, the variety of different cartoon-related things, including Gods and Monsters. And you know what else I did notice about all the new heroes in the Gods and Monsters lineup?
Uh-oh.
Not a one of them.
Yes.
Not a one of them had a cape.
No. You know why?
They have a tendency
to get caught in the door. So, on that note, boys and girls, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.
Okay, now it's my turn. Okay, what are you doing? Taking over Dad's mic so I can be part of superhero speak. Duh. Well, there are better ways to join the conversation. Really? Like what? Well, you can interact with them on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and even Pinterest. Wait, people use Pinterest? And what's Google+? I don't know, something to do with circles. Anyway, you can also see all their posts, including comic book videos, on their website, where you can also sign up for their mailing list. Cool! Yep, are you still gonna try to hijack Dad's mic? Nope, I'm gonna try to answer the Stump the Geek question. Nice. So who do you think would win in a fight between Rainbow Dash and Squirrel Girl? Oh, that's a hard one. Oh no, Dad's waking up. Run for your lives!
Oh, what are you guys doing? That cape's gonna get caught in the door.
Ow.
Paste down my face, on my hair, on my shirt. She looks at me, and I look at her.
1, 2, 3.
Your life is your life. Somewhere there is light. The gods wait to delight in you. It meets the darkness, more marvelous.
Who's pretending to be who? Who's pretending to be?
Your life is your life. The force, the repetitions, don't let it be clubbed. And it takes a mission.
You you should get to the point where anyone else would quit. You're gonna wake up and work hard at it. Just do it, nothing is impossible. Just do it, yesterday you said tomorrow. Just do it, don't let your dreams be dreams.
And more often you do it, the more light there will be. The more light there will be. I squirt toothpaste in my mouth. I start to brush. She's looking at me. I start to blush. Sometimes it feels like we fill that void between us. That void between me and Shia LaBeouf.
Paste down my face, on my hair, on my shirt. She looks at me, and I'm looking at her.
I grow myself underwater, knowing for pleasure.
Ebb and flow,
expanding the pressure. Just do it, nothing is impossible. Just do it, yesterday you said tomorrow. Just do it, don't let your dreams be dreams.
And more often you do it, the more light there will be.
Just do it, nothing is impossible. Just do it, yesterday you said tomorrow. Just do it, don't let your dreams be dreams.
And more often you do it, the more light there will be.